This is really fascinating. I mean, you and Penn getting together on this. Can you kind of tell me how this came together, where you and Penn decided to start working on this project?
A few years back, I wrote and directed a movie called Look, which is a drama that was entirely shot from the point of view of surveillance cameras. And it explores the conceit that the average American is captured 300 times a day by the eye in the sky. At the time we made the film, it was actually 150 times a day. It's a lot more now. Anyway, and so the film follows about three or four interweaving storylines, and they're all shot from the point of view of the surveillance cameras that we all live in front of every day. And the movie came out and did really well on the art house scene, and it won a bunch of major film festivals and got a lot of great reviews, and it enjoyed a nice little success. And then it spawned a television series version for Showtime. But somewhere between when the movie came out and before we made the television, one evening, I'm driving home, and my assistant called me and said, "Penn Jillette is tweeting about Look." And I said, "Wow, that's great. I love Penn Jillette." And I had always been a fan, you know, not only of Penn and Teller, but of Penn himself. You know, he's very outspoken about a lot of issues now. It's found him to be really interesting to listen to and really funny and really thought-provoking. I was really flattered. I get home, I log on to Facebook, and lo and behold, suddenly pops up a private message from Penn Jillette. Turned out we had some mutual friends. So he said, "Hi, my name is," and it's kind of late in the evening now. "Hi, my name is Penn Jillette. I'm a magician. You know, of course, I knew who he was. You know, I loved your movie Look. Can I talk to you about it?" And I said, I wrote him back, and I said, "Sure, I'd love to talk about it with you." I think I emailed him back my number, and I said, "Feel free to, you know, call me when, you know, sometime." I figured he'd call me sometime tomorrow. 2 seconds later, the phone rang. Right, it was Penn Jillette, and he could not have been more complimentary about Look. And I was very flattered because, you know, it's always nice when someone likes your movie. But when someone likes your movie who you have a tremendous amount of respect for and are a fan of, it means a lot. He said, "Listen, I wrote a script that for a long time I've been racking my brain trying to figure out who should direct it. And after seeing Look, I want you to direct it." And I said to him my sort of standard line, which is true generally. You know, I prefer to direct my own material, you know. But I said I'd be open to it, you know. He said, "Well, let me tell you the idea." And he proceeded to pitch the whole film. And I was rapt with attention. And it was a fabulous pitch. I mean, one of the best pitches I'd ever heard. And it was very smart. And it sort of was an idea that took people's already existing knowledge of certain genres of movies and how movies are made and how movies are promoted. And it took that knowledge that people already have and used that knowledge to fuck with them. I thought that was really smart. I guess that kind of is the definition of meta, you know? So it was very meta. And it was really a good example of really smart deconstructionist kind of movie thinking. I said, "I'd love to read it." So he emailed me the script, and I read it right then. And I called him back. This is probably now like 3 or 4 in the morning. And I said, "This is a great script. This is a great idea. I'd love to direct it." He was thrilled. I was thrilled. Next time he was in L.A., we met. We had a great connection. We'd been very excited about the idea of getting this movie made. But it's a very unusual movie. And we knew it would be a very unusual movie for, you know, it would be a very difficult movie to get financed. So we sort of explored the traditional route a little bit at first, just because that's what you do. And then we kind of put it aside briefly. I mean, knowing that we would figure out how to put this movie together, because we both were too excited about it. And then in the meantime, I made the Look television series, and he's always busy with lots of things. And anyway, then, you know, we always were trying to figure out how we were going to get this movie made. And in the interim, crowdfunding, which I've always been interested in and fascinated by and I'm a supporter of, started to show some examples of real success stories in the area of getting movies financed, interesting movies financed that might have a hard time getting financing another way. So Penn said, "Hey, what do you think? What do you, you know, Zach Braff did it. Veronica Mars did it. Adam Carolla was doing it at the moment and being very successful at it. Why don't we do it? Why not? Let's take this idea directly to the fans and let them know what we have in mind. And if there's an interest in this movie, let's give the fans the opportunity to buy in now and get the movie made that way." And so we made a crowdfunding video, and we put a campaign together, and so far it's been going like gangbusters. I mean, we could not be more thrilled with the way it's been going so far. So that's kind of how we come to this point.
I put in on it when it started, and I just looked at it today, and I think, what, it's up near 400,000 already?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, we are thrilled with the success so far.
Do you think in a way that this crowdfunding in that way sort of is becoming, I don't want to say necessary, but because we happen to see, I think, really coming out of Hollywood, these big tentpole films that they're spending $150, $200 million on these things. And it seems like the mid-range films, you know, things that are maybe a couple of million dollars or something like that, just aren't, they don't seem as interested in making those anymore.
Well, the mid-range films are pretty much dying out, and that is exactly right. Hollywood, understandably so, wants to have giant tentpole hits that spawn many sequels and amusement park rides and make them, you know, billions of dollars. And the economics of, you know, making a movie for a very small amount of money that is, you know, supposed to appeal to a niche audience, you know, making one of those and then risking millions of dollars distributing it is just not as interesting for them anymore. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think that's good. I think that's bad. I mean, all of our favorite movies, if we're film lovers, all of our favorite movies are probably those mid-range movies. But I understand why some of these studios don't understand that, you know, so why they want to focus on the giant movies. So people have to be creative. And I applaud the idea that people have risen to that challenge, creative ways of getting interesting movies made. And that's why I'm a big supporter of crowdfunding. Now, I know there's a disconnect right now, and I think that people just need to be certain people need to still be a little more educated to the benefits of crowdfunding, you know, because some of the complaints, like when Spike Lee, you know, or Zach Braff, and even a little bit with Penn, you know, take the crowdfunding, well, you're, you know, rich and famous, why don't you just fund it yourself instead of asking us to, you know, finance your movie for you? There's a couple things to consider here. One, it's not charity. We're not looking for charity. We are giving people an opportunity, if it's a movie that they think they might be interested in seeing, to basically buy their ticket now, to buy their DVD now. And in exchange, they get to be a part of the movie. They get their name in the credits. They get to help see a movie that they want to see get made. For a little bit more money, they get T-shirts. For a little bit more money, they can be in the movie. For a little bit more money, they can get, you know, there's so many. Listen, and also with Penn, the Penn and Teller show, you can get tickets to the show and have dinner with Penn and a suite at the Rio and have a wild Vegas weekend if you buy in. So it's not charity. These are great opportunities for really cool things. You know, and I was thinking about, like, when I was growing up, if there was an opportunity for this when I was a young movie fan with no connection to Hollywood or anybody involved in Hollywood, here's a chance to spend a little money. I get my DVD, I get my T-shirt, I get my name in the credits, which is great. But for a little bit more money, I get to hang out with a filmmaker that I'm interested in, or hang out with a star that I enjoy watching. To me, it's very, very exciting. So, and also, too, consider this. Asking a fan to donate $30, $100, even $1,000, you know, to the cause, you know, in exchange for cool stuff, is a lot different than somebody writing $1 million check. I don't care how rich you are. Writing $1 million check is writing $1 million check. So, you know, and by the way, Penn and I both have put our money where our mouth is on other movies. I mean, Penn financed The Aristocrats himself, which is a great documentary, and he financed Tim's Vermeer, which is another documentary that he just made that was the hit of the Toronto Film Festival and the Telluride Film Festival. He financed that himself. But, you know, a documentary is a lot less expensive than a narrative feature. I financed most of Look. I greenlit Look with the money I made writing the movie Underdog for Disney. So we're used to writing checks to get our movies made. But again, like I say, writing a check for, you know, a movie like Director's Cut is a little bit bigger of a bite than, you know, other kinds of movies. So that's why we're going to crowdfunding.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of Penn's for a long time, and I listened to Sunday School, his podcast, and I remember about a year or two ago, he had this thing on there where he was talking about how he wasn't a very good actor. And he kept bringing up these, you know, demonstrations of previous shows or films that he was in. He didn't feel he was a very good actor. And I just wanted to ask you, as someone who's obviously going to direct it, and he's going to be the lead, do you think he has improved, or is he just being modest or denigrating himself?
Penn's being modest. He is a good actor. He's a great performer in every sense of the word. Nobody can be as famous for as long as Penn's been famous and not be comfortable in front of a camera. And so much of what good film acting entails is being able to be comfortable and not self-conscious in front of the camera. Not to mention the fact that if you want to see how good of an actor Penn is capable of, especially at playing the role that he wrote for himself in Director's Cut, watch the pitch video. Because in the pitch video, he goes from being, you know, friendly, lovable Penn Jillette that we've all seen, you know, in the Penn and Teller world, to becoming the most twisted, deranged, psycho freak you've ever seen, all in the span of a 4-minute video. So I encourage people to check that out.
As we were talking about, you know, you've had great success so far. The money continues to come in. As soon as the money is, the goal is hit, which is, you know, what you're hoping, how long do you think it will take before you guys get into production?
Here's the good news. We've actually got enough money right now that we've triggered pre-production. So, you know, really, we are planning to make this movie as quickly as we can. You know, so as the money comes in, it is all going right into our production and pre-production kitty. So, you know, as far as when we're going to start casting, it really all depends now on just locking our cast. You know, and so, you know, people that we want to be in it, you know, we're going to be a little bit at the, you know, at the disposal of their schedules. So, you know, somebody who's really, really good, if we need to wait a few months for their availability, we, of course, will. So we can't say we have a date set yet because we don't know how that's going to shake out with respect to casting. But we're making the movie, and we're starting, you know, to figure out the details now.
The total goal is just a little shy of $1 million. It's over $900,000 and $900,000. And was going to ask, you know, you said that, you know, in the past you've put in and Penn's put in. Will that cover everything, or do you find that you're going to be going into your own wallet at some point?
Well, we knew going in that, you know, we're gonna fund the bulk of the movie through crowdfunding, and we knew what we needed through crowdfunding. But, you know, if there are little overages here and there, of course we're gonna kick those in ourselves, because we just can't help ourselves, you know.
As for the story itself, not to give everything away, but what is you know, sort of the basic outline, and what is it that really grabs you about it?
Well, like I was saying, the movie fucks with people's pre-existing knowledge of certain things. So, for example, everybody who's a film fan, even people who aren't, are aware of the concept of the director's commentary. And this movie utilizes the director's commentary in a way that's never been done before. It uses it as a narrative device in watching the movie. Obviously, director's commentary, you know, you see a movie, you're interested in how it was made, you watch the director's commentary, you get some interesting tips. So basically, to give you the short version of the pitch, and Penn pitches it really well, but I'll just give you my version of it. The movie starts out, it looks like a really taut cop thriller in the vein of Seven or Silence of the Lambs, right? And as soon as it starts, you hear the director's voice start talking, giving the director's commentary. So basically, you're watching a movie with the director's commentary over it the entire time. And Penn's voice is the director. And as the movie's unfolding, as the credits are rolling and we're meeting the characters, and, you know, we're hearing Penn talk about, you know, when we made this movie, here are some stories about what happened here, and this is this actor, and this is this actor, and this is what it was like working with them. And, you know, all the while he's talking, you're seeing this movie play out, and you're hearing enough of the dialogue in the movie that you can follow the story. And the story is about a serial killer who is mimicking serial killings of famous serial killers. So all the crime scenes look exactly like the crime scenes of famous serial killers. So the lead investigator on the case is a very cool, very sexy female cop. And the director's voice is very, very knowledgeable about and refers to this actress by her real name. So whoever plays the role will be playing herself. The director's voice is very, very knowledgeable about everything to do with this actress, knows everything about what it was like working with her, knows everything about what it's like, you know, her childhood, where she's from, what are her passions, you know. And then it starts to get a little creepy as he knows information about her that's exceptionally detailed and somewhat personal. And you start to get the sneaking suspicion as the movie's unfolding that this director is obsessed with his leading lady in an unhealthy way. Then, as things unfold more, you start to get the sensation that, well, maybe he's not the director. Maybe this voice isn't, because there are certain things that he'd know that he doesn't know. And then you start to see footage cut into the movie that was clearly shot with a camcorder of the actress on the set working, and somebody's hiding behind, you know, the walls of the set, zooming in on her, watching her work from afar. And suddenly you start to realize, oh, this isn't the director at all. This is some creepy stalker who's obsessed with this actress. And then you see this footage follow her home. You see this footage peering in her windows, and you see who, you know, whoever's behind this camera kidnapping her. And basically what happens is the leading lady of this movie is kidnapped by this voice who fancies himself a director. He has her now in his home dungeon that he's fashioned to look like sets from the movie. And he intends on reshooting the movie with himself as the love interest. And he's just a psycho stalker obsessed with this actress and wants to be the leading man in her life. That's what I was really fascinated with about this idea, is that it takes the idea of a cop movie and turns it on its head by completely deconstructing it. I really think it's going to be very unique.
It definitely sounds, from how you explain it and then also look as well, kind of why I think Penn came to you for this, because it does seem that it's not playing on a sort of a traditional narrative plane of just, here's your camera, here's the set, here's the characters. There's definitely a lot more going on.
There's a lot more going on, and it actually gives the audience the opportunity to be smart and sort of decipher for themselves what's really unfolding here. It's also presented as though this whole movie has been recut by and narrated by this psycho who thinks he's a director. So everything that all the footage he uses, all the footage he shoots, the entire way that it's put together is all going to feel very much like this is real, like this could have actually happened. This person could have actually been obsessed with this actress, gotten a hold of this footage, stalked this actress, kidnapped her, and turned all of this material into his own version, his own director's cut of this movie.
Sounds not like the sort of humorous clown that we've come to know as Penn Jillette.
Well, there's going to be humor, don't get me wrong, but it's also going to get really scary, too.
One of the things that I've seen over the last basically week and a half is a lot of people have come out and done these little videos, some of which are rather humorous. I saw the ones from the guy from South Park. What's the basis for that? How is that all coming together?
Penn has a lot of friends in high places, and he and I, and we all basically wanted to sort of rally our troops. When you're mounting a crowdfunding campaign, it's just that, it's a campaign. It's like running for mayor. So you need to work the campaign. You need to, you know, gather your supporters, and you need to do whatever you can to get as much attention for your campaign as possible. So we asked, you know, just for some favors from all of our friends. The tagline of the campaign is help make Penn a bad guy, because Penn's a nice guy, but he really wants this movie to get made so he can play the bad guy. And it's his dream to be a really, really bad guy. So we played the video for all of his friends, all of my friends who are, you know, celebrities or actors or whatever. And we said, look, here's the idea. We would love for you, if you are game, to make a little video that basically supports the idea that Penn used to be a really nice guy, but the more money that comes in and the closer this movie gets to being made, it's working. Penn is turning into a bad guy. He's becoming an asshole. So we put the word out and we thought, you know, hopefully a couple people will, you know, want to play along, not expecting that, you know, everybody would say yes. So we're thrilled because, you know, Neil Patrick Harris, David Copperfield, Matt and Trey from South Park have all done them. We've got some big, big stars coming up, some big, big surprises. So you're going to see some really great celebrity videos that really are doing it just because they like the campaign video, they like Penn, or they're supportive of us, you know, making this movie. And they're basically lending a hand to try and help us get more attention for the campaign. And so keep an eye out, because we got some really good ones coming.
And do you think that we may end up seeing some of these folks in the final product?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. I can't tell you exactly who yet, but I know for a fact that a few of them are going to be in the movie.
As for the reaction from the people who have come in, who are funders, what's some of the, you know, the best stuff that you've heard from people who wanted to come in and wanted to support? with their dollars?
Well, Penn has maniacal fans, you know, so the idea that people get an opportunity to, you know, buy in and as a result get to see their show, hang with Penn, spend time in Vegas, be on the set, you know, they're overjoyed. And our rewards, we've been told, are very underpriced for what people believe the value really is. And that was something that we all kind of felt like, listen, you know, we don't want to make this impossible for people to do. So let's make sure that people get really, really, really great stuff and can still hopefully afford it.
The other thing beyond that, on the main page for the Fund Anything page for the campaign, is I like the drawings you've done.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I love cartooning, and I've done it my whole life. And so this just seemed like a fun way to incorporate some of the drawings. Because, you know, Penn has been writing updates a lot, you know, as far as how the campaign's been going. And he's very eloquent. So I just thought, well, instead of writing more words, I'll just draw pictures. So I kind of figured out a good way to sort of caricaturize him and me together. And that's what I've been doing.
Does he really tower over you that much?
Penn is a giant. He is something like 6'7", 6'8". And he is enormous.
So when you talk, you got to sit him in a chair. And
yeah, listen, I'll tell you, you know, people think Teller is a little guy. Teller's a lot taller than me. And look at how Penn and Teller look next to each other. Penn's a tall guy.
Anything else you want to add, or are we cool?
I would just say, you know, I really encourage everybody to check out the campaign on fundanything.com/Penn. We'd love for everybody to check it out and be a part of the movie. Basically, anybody who buys in is a partner on this movie. So, you know, let's all make a movie together.
And I'm proud to be a partner on it, too, so...
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Not a problem. Thanks for taking the time.
Cool, man. Thanks so much.
All right. All the best. Take care.
You too. Take care. Bye.
Bye.